Good morning to each one this morning. It's been a blessing to be here this morning. It's been a challenge to my heart. What was shared already? The greatest, if we want to be the greatest, I think Jesus said we'll become a servant of all. And that'll bring what Rufus was talking about, that joy in our life or in our hearts. The natural man, as was shared, likes to be served, and we don't like to serve. We like to be served. But true peace and our true joy and true greatness is found in serving others. Well, thank you, brothers, for sharing. I appreciated that. I was challenged. I do greet you this morning in the worthy and precious name of Jesus Christ. I was thinking yesterday that name's precious to us. That name's precious because it's by that name we've been saved, we've been washed. It's by that name that we have an everlasting hope. Not a wishful hope, but a hope that maketh not ashamed, in anticipation of seeing Him again face to face. Or seeing Him face to face, not again. We have not seen Him yet. We see Him by faith, but that we see Him face to face. And we have this hope because He died on a cross, as we heard, partook of communion last Sunday, that we remembered that death. We remembered that death and His precious blood that cleansed us from all sin. Not just half our sins, but all our sins can be cleansed. But He resurrected from the grave to give us power in our life, that we could live a holy and a victorious life, a holy and victorious life in the fear of God. And so I thought, that's why that name's precious to us today. That's why that name's precious. I thought of the song yesterday morning as I was sitting at my desk. I thought of the song, "I've Got So Much to Thank Him For." I really appreciate that song. I don't know if you're familiar with what I'm talking about, but I got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for He has been so good to me. I think we can all say that this morning. And it goes on to say, when I think of what He's done and where He has brought me from, I got so much to thank Him for. And so God bless each one of you this morning with His grace and peace, as we endeavor to hear from Him this morning. It's my desire, as was Brian's desire, Rufus' desire, that the Lord Jesus is glorified. And I don't want to say anything that's of my own grace or my own ideas. So I thought we could rise and have a prayer, then we'll get into the message here. Yes, Heavenly Father, we come and stand before You this morning and with thankful hearts this morning for all that You've done for us, Father. You've given us Your Son. You've given us Your Son that we may have eternal life. We thank You for that life this morning. Thank You, Father, for Your Word that You've left for us, that as we open Your Word today, that we could learn of You. We could further learn from You today, Father. Lord, we have already learned, Lord, how You view greatness, and we ask for grace to share this message that You've brought here to me, Lord, in my heart, and Lord, that I could relay it to Your people, and that they could grow, and we could grow together in our understanding of You, Father, and understanding in the Christian life, Father. And as we go on in this body, that we could portray the light of Christ to those around us, Lord. We ask that You just be here in our midst. We ask in Jesus' name. Okay, I believe the Lord has given us a message today, not just for you all, but for me also. The last few weeks in me and my wife's life especially, with my father-in-law being told he has cancer and there's not much they can do for him, and sitting there the night to hear someone tell a loved one that you have little time left on this earth. Was a sobering reminder of death. I know Jonas and Pauline also experienced that about 3 weeks ago there. But But it's a reminder that death is coming for each one of us. We're all going to die. Unless we're still on earth when the Lord returns, we will all one day face death and all taste death. And whether you're on earth when the Lord returns or you die, we still need to have this principle. And I know we all know this, but one day we will all take our last breath, and someone is going to prepare our body, and it's going to lay it in a casket, and they're going to carry it out to a graveyard, this graveyard here or another one, and his body's going to be put in the ground, and they're going to cover it with about 3 feet of dirt. And that's the end of this body. But not the end of our soul. Life here on earth will go on. As we all experience that, we experience death in our midst, our lives go on. But our soul's loved one has gone on somewhere. And our souls will also, it'll go somewhere, either heaven with Christ or in hell with the devil and his angels. That's the two destinations. That is why it's of utmost importance that our hearts and our souls be ready to meet him on that day. Whenever he calls our name, that we are ready. That when our day comes, we are not caught unawares. And I thank God today that in his word, he's left us guidance and direction that we can examine our hearts and live a life that's pleasing to him. And live a life that we can have confidence on that day that our soul will be with him for eternity. Not by our own efforts or our own strength, but by his grace and mercy, he's saved us. He's made us accepted in the beloved, the scripture says. So today I'd like to look into the scriptures at some principles that we need in our lives. And these are just a few. I found seven. But I thought there are important principles that we need in our lives. To have the title of the message today is Principles for a Vibrant Christian Life. And I think to have this life, to have a vibrant Christian life, a victorious life, we need some of these principles. And I'm going to be looking at the letter of 1 John today, mostly in 1 John, is where I drew these principles out of. I like 1 John. I've always enjoyed 1 John since I became converted and started reading the scriptures. 1 John always was so easy for me to understand and read. It's so simple. It's very black and white. He just says, you know, if you're like this, it's like this. And it's very simple to understand. It's truth and lie. It's black and white. It's right or wrong. And John wrote it that way, and I think we do well to live our Christian life that way. So I looked at seven things. There are more, I'm sure, but I just chose these seven. Now, before we start, I think we need to be willing to be honest with ourselves and before God, because if we're not honest with ourselves, we're just deceiving ourselves, and then God can't do his work within us. So the first principle, I'll read out of 1 John 1, 1 through 4. That which we have heard from that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Last Sunday, Brother Arlen talked a lot about fellowship. And I think I want to look at this again this morning, that he said here, they bore witness, and John wrote this, that we would have fellowship with them, with him, or with the disciples, and with the Father, and with his Son. So So do you have fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ? There's a question that comes to my mind. Do you have fellowship? So what does it mean to have fellowship? We heard a lot of that last Sunday. Fellowship is partnership or participation or communion, a common union, a coming together. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God calls us out and away from this present evil world to have this fellowship with Him. In the garden, after the creation of all things, God created man and put him in the garden to tend to it. So there's a period of time there between the creation and the fall. I don't know how long of a period of time that was, but we heard it this morning that there was fellowship with God. With Adam and Eve, there was fellowship. Then sin entered the world, and fellowship was broken. Sin breaks that fellowship, even today. Sin breaks fellowship with God. But sin came to the world, and that fellowship was broken. And when Jesus died and resurrected, now there's access back into fellowship, that fellowship with the Father on a daily, on a personal level. And I thought of this: are you seeking that fellowship on a daily basis? And when I say you, I'm also including me. Because, as I said, I was challenged this morning already with looking into our lives and seeing needs. I just desire today, I want to stir up our hearts to a deeper relationship with our Father and with His Son. You know, we all know it's very easy to have and enjoy fellowship with many different things in this life. We can have fellowship with multiple things. And Arlen kept reusing that word last Sunday, koinonia. I think I'm pronouncing that right. But God has called us into fellowship with Him. So to give a picture of what fellowship looks like, think about your relationship with your wife, or with your husband, or your best friend. Someone who you just enjoy being around and doing things together. Just enjoy each other's presence and company. That's fellowship. That's what God desires from us. To just enjoy being in His presence and enjoy hearing from Him, enjoy learning from Him. To enjoy spending time in His presence. Excuse me. I want to be practical today. I believe the Christian life is very practical. It's not some super spiritual plateau that we aim for. The Christian life meets us right where we live and in our everyday life. Excuse me. So how is this fellowship attained? And how does it affect our everyday life? And how do we have it? How do we get it? excuse me. First and foremost, we need to be right with God. We can't have fellowship with God unless, as we read here, that what they seen and heard, they declare to us that we'd have fellowship with them and with the Father and with the Son. We need to have a life that's been changed by the power of God, that sins are forgiven and we're walking in the newness of life. Remember, sin broke that fellowship with Adam and Eve. When we have our hearts clean through the blood of Christ, we enter into this fellowship. Thank you. We enter into this fellowship, but it's our responsibility to maintain that connection. God doesn't change or move. We do. Man moves. Man changes. God is always the same. Today, yesterday, and forever, it says. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, and soul, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. This love needs to transcend all other loves, even our spouses and our families. So how can we have this fellowship? Well, I think we heard a lot about this Tuesday night, when the brothers sharing about the redeeming of the time. And I, for one, am looking forward to this and this next couple months and going a little deeper with the Lord. And as Brian so graciously reminded us this morning, it's our duty. I appreciated that we don't think we get a reward for doing this, but it's just our duty to do. And I'm looking forward to that. Got a tickle in my throat. As we do these things, prayer, fasting, singing, Bible reading, God is there. As we fill our minds with the things of God, all the things get pushed aside, and we can enjoy fellowship with God all day long. Even though we're on the job site, and we can still have those verses rolling in our mind, we can have those songs in our hearts, we can have all these things, and we're having fellowship with God and on a continual basis. We don't need to have fellowship with ungodly music or anything that comes that wants to push in. We can have fellowship with the Father. What a wonderful opportunity to have fellowship with the creator of this universe. The second principle, we'll be reading in 1 John 2, 3 and 6, 3 through 6. It says, Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also walk just as he walked. Very simple scriptures to understand. If we have this fellowship, we have this connection with God, then we'll simply obey his word. Very simple to understand. By this we will know we know him. If in our hearts we long to do the will of God. We don't need to be tossed about of not knowing. We can know if in our hearts we desire to do the will of God. John 14, I'm going to read some verses that Jesus said. John 14, 15 through 24. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. This word is interesting. Yesterday, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I looked that word comfortless up. I thought I knew what it meant. But it means fatherless or orphan. One without a parent. I found that interesting. Jesus said, if you seek to do my will and you keep my commandments, I'll give you a comforter. I will not leave you fatherless. I will not leave you without a father or I won't leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. So he's not going to leave us on our own. And when we endeavor to do God's will in the truth and in spirit, God gives us, through the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do it, is the simple way that I would say that. That we have the power now to live for God. And it needs to be our utmost desire and goal to obey the Word of God. Verse 4 here in 1 John, he says that I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We've all met men or women that profess to know Christ, and they profess to be Christians, and they profess a lot of things, but their lives are a wreck. I know when we went to the prison a lot before COVID, we'd meet those men, and they would never, the true ones, acknowledge their guilt and their sin before God and were thankful for what God did in their life. The ones that were professing to be Christians, but they were never guilty. They were just never guilty. They were falsely accused. And so when we own our sin and we confess to God and he gives us that power to overcome and to obey him, that's what that means. That if you profess to know Christ, you say, I know him, and do not keep his commandments, Scripture says you're a liar. Not, I didn't say that. The Scripture says it. If we name the name of Christ, the Scripture says also we have to walk as he walked. Jesus said in John 8:29, he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things which please him. Also he said, I have not come from heaven to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. That needs to be our goal in our life, to do the will of the Father. Whatever that means in your life, in my life, we need to be willing to do the will of the Father. And we have such a gracious Father that he provides us with everything we need. He says, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. In 1 John 1, 5 through 6, is another that leads us to the next principle. As we walk in fellowship with God and are endeavoring to obey him, we become sensitive to sin. I'll read the verses here. 1 John 1, 5 and 6. This then is the message that we have heard from him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. As we walk in fellowship with God, those things that used to not bother us now bother us. Those things that used to be a part of our life are no longer part of our life. I know growing up and into my, before I got converted, it was very easy for me to say a lie. It was very easy for me to look someone right in the eye and just lie to them. Or to get angry. Angry at my wife, or angry at my father, or angry at my brothers at work. Very easy to just get angry. Today, I can't do that. I can't lie. I can't tell a lie. Even if I sometimes do things and it's not the full truth, it's still a lie. And I get convicted. And I go, we need to go back and correct those things. We will not, as we have this fellowship with God, we're endeavoring to obey the Word of God, we will not walk in habitual sin. Habitual sin means you just do it over and over and over and over and over. It's a habit. It's just a bad habit. But we will not walk in that habitual sin. Which leads us to the next point, 1 John 3. Four through nine. Whoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In the New King James Translation, it would use the word practice. When you practice something, you become pretty good at it. As you practice something, you can continue to do it, and you continue to do it, and you continue to do it. You become very, very good at what you can do, at doing that thing. That's what that word committeth. Those that practice sin. I don't believe anyone in here believes in sinless perfection. But I do believe this, as we walk with God, we sin less and less. We should be sinning less and less. There should be no habitual sin, but our falling into sin should be coming less and less. In chapter 1 of John, it says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can't expect to be forgiven if we don't own our sin and confess our sin. And when confession means you own it, you own it as yours, that I did that, Lord, and I need forgiveness. God is very willing to forgive us, but we must humble ourselves and confess our rebellion to his word and ask for mercy. As we have this fellowship with God, he is faithful to continue to show us our need and grants us the grace to continue to obey his word. It just builds on each one on top of the other. The next principle is 1 John 2:15 through 17. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Quite a few years ago, I heard this little thing. I don't know if I shared this here before or not, but to keep it simple about the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, it's these words. The lust of the flesh is our passions. The lust of the eyes is our possessions, and the pride of life is our position. Who we think we are, what we think we are. The world system is opposed to God's kingdom because it's controlled by the devil. He is the god of this world, and we can't serve two masters. We will love one, or we'll hate the other. Or we'll hold to one, or we'll despise the other. All these principles, all these things, within themselves, go against God and his kingdom. If you have a love for the things of the world, the Bible says that the love of God is not in you. There again, not my words, it's the word of God. If you find yourself having the love completely consumed by the love of the world, the Bible says the love of the Father is not in you. The love of God is not in you. Do you love God? The question that has come to my mind. Do you love God, his truth, his kingdom? Do you love what he stands for? The natural man can't do that because men love darkness rather than light. And they do the will of their father, the devil. But if Christ dwells in you, we can reject this present evil world and do the will of God in our lives. There again, those things can be numerous. They don't have to be one thing or two things. Brian talked this morning about wanting to be the greatest, the pride of life, our position. Those things are not a part of God's kingdom. I as I said earlier, I love the letter of 1 John because it's very easy to understand. And there's no misunderstanding in right or wrong. It's very clear. On our job, sometimes we have to mix dyes to make a certain color. And the other week, we had a white floor we had to do, mainly white. So we do two coats. The base coat, we do a little different shade than the top coat so we can see where we're going on the second coat. So we decided that we had all white. We decided, well, it's going to be pretty hard to see where we're going. So we decided to put a little black. We had some black dye. We thought we'd dribble a little dye in it. In the first batch, I mixed up. I just put a little dribble in it, and it was just right. In the second batch, I went and I put too much in, and it totally changed the color. So when you mix, we all know we mix white and black, we get gray, right? We mix white and black, we get gray. So if you mix truth and lie, you get a gray area. That's what I like about 1 John. There's no gray areas. It's black and white. It's just, and you don't need to wonder where you're at. You can take courage or you can find repentance. In the 1 John 2, 9 through 11, he who says he's in light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Also, 1 John 3, 10 through 15. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. In this, the children of God are manifest, and children of the devil. Whoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death, and whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Strong words, again, but very practical, very simple. There's no middle ground. If you love God, love your brother. If you hate your brother, you don't love God. So either in this way we're walking with God or not. In these verses, John is addressing those that say they are Christians, followers of Jesus, and who condemn others. Now, I want to clarify something here. We don't embrace all who say, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, are Christians or followers of God. That becomes the hard part sometimes, I think. Not everyone who says they're followers of God are actually following God. We need to take an honest assessment of their life. Are they in fellowship with God? Are they obeying His Word? Are they rejecting this world? Are they walking in victory over sin? Those are just some things that we can discern as we consider having a friendship with someone that's professing to be a Christian, and we need to just discern that in their lives. It's not that we think we're greater than them or somehow more spiritual than them. It's a protection for us. It's a protection for our families that we just desire to walk in truth. I think we need to be wise in who we have fellowship with, because remember, fellowship is partnership or communion with. And to make sure that whoever we're having fellowship with are helping us on to higher ground and to our spiritual well-being, helping us unto the Father, helping us fight the good fight of faith. That's the ultimate goal, that we want to be in fellowship with those around us that are walking the same direction we're walking and desiring to have the same end goal. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going into the world." So even in John's day, there was many times that they had to decide or discern who they were having fellowship with. But here, John says, if you're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ, and you have ill will toward your fellow man, you're a murderer, and you abide in death. Jesus said in John 13:34, By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. This isn't a love that we conjure. It's a fake love. I wrote, but one that flows out of a renewed heart, because God is love. When God lives in us, we can only do what God does. So those that profess to be Christians and followers of Christ that have never entered into a relationship with Christ, they can't have this love. They can't practice this love because they don't know it, because God is love. I remember about 18, 19 years ago now, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I didn't know it at the time, but to meet with those brothers that had this new belief like I did, there was a drawing. And it was very precious to me, meeting with brothers and sisters and having that fellowship, even more so today. But I remember one instant, trying not to name names here, but I went to church, and I didn't want to go to church, and I was discouraged, and I walked into the barn, and there was a brother standing there in the corner, and everybody's avoiding him. And he was there because it was his father-in-law's, and everybody was avoiding him. And I walked in, tied my horse up, and he seen me, and our eyes met, and we kind of connected. And we stood there, and we were visiting, and everybody's walking around us with, you know, giving us these eyes. But we were just fellowshipping, and it was a blessing. And it was a highlight of my week, you could say, because it inspired me that here's another one. And I hadn't seen him for a long time, but I had knew that, I had heard that he was of this new belief, and I was greatly encouraged to see him. So, but that's what I'm talking about when we have that love for our brother, and we desire to be with him. Or if you're in a store and you meet one of the brothers in the church, or a brother, and that joy you get to experience to walk over and visit a little, those are blessings that we need to appreciate. In 1 John 3:16-23, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also have to lay down our life for our brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever you ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." So it's actually a commandment of God to love one another. Just to love one another and to be a blessing. And it's not in... We can long say we love each other. I can tell my wife every day, 3 times a day, that I love her. But if I don't do those things which prove my love, do I really love her? If I would just go home every night and not be willing to help around the house, not be willing to be a help with the children, not be willing to do anything but sit in my easy chair and expect to be served, but I tell her I love her, do I really love her? I don't think so. I think love works out. Love works. If we have faith, for example, we have faith, and James says, a faith that works, a faith that has actions behind it. That's what it means to love in deed and in truth here that we read. love in deed and in truth. Brings us to our last principle here, 1 John 3:1-3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So the question that come to me was, do you long for his appearing? Do you long for his appearing? What a promise. When we see him, we shall be like him. We can't fathom that in our earthly bodies, in the temptations we face, but when we see him, we shall be like him. If we're walking in all these things that we're talking about here, I know that we won't always walk in these ways perfectly. We won't always do those things as we desire, with never a failure. But if our hearts are bent towards God and away from this world, we have that blessed hope and a wonderful expectation to be forever with the Lord. If we don't have that hope, we can have that hope. First Thessalonians chapter 5, there's some verses I just wanted to read. We heard this the other week. So concerning the times and seasons, brethren, I have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But here's the verse. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as ye also do. When that day comes, when Christ comes again, and we're living for him, and we're living in victory, and we're living that victorious life, that day won't surprise us. We'll be ready. We'll be ready and excited to meet him. That's a challenge. I know it's a challenge to our hearts, but it's possible. We know it's possible. By the grace of God, it's possible. 2 Peter 3, concerning this also, 10-14, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are in it shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire. The heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's a beautiful promise that we don't need to experience the judgment of God. We can be judged today and be found ready. I thought in closing, I'm going to read, I said earlier that 1 John has always been a blessing to me since I started reading the scriptures, and especially chapter 5. But I come to appreciate more of chapter 5 than just one verse. And I come to appreciate John more than just one verse out of John. So I thought I'd read this in its entirety and let the Word of God encourage us that if we find ourselves in need today, there's help. And if we find ourselves rejoicing today, we got much to rejoice about today. Whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God hath gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That word record there in German, it's Zeugnis. We all know that, all of us would know German, know that word. Zeugnis, or the New King James says testimony. This is the testimony that God has given of his Son, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Well, it's just a blessing to read that again as I was studying, and thought it'd be a blessing to share it with each one of us. Again, my heart and desire today was to stir us to a deeper walk and a deeper relationship with God. If I have said anything today that you don't understand or you have a question about, do feel free to approach me. I sometimes do say things up here, I got it, but they come out wrong. So I've been known to do that a time or two. So, but it's not my heart to say anything that was against the Scriptures. So God bless each one of you. And continue to pray for us as a family, that our lives could stand the test of Christ. God bless you.